In Paris, the Louvre grieves after thieves pulled off a daring heist, stealing jewels worth 88 million euro in just 7 minutes. Among the items lost are regalia worn by the former royal family. But while French investigators scramble, here in Ireland, there's another jewel theft that's never been solved, one that still baffles historians more than a century later. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Shane Beattie.
Well, the hunt goes on tonight for the gang who carried off a daring heist at the Louvre in Paris. Thieves escaped with priceless jewels in a 7-minute raid which has stunned the whole of France. It happened while the museum was open and has raised serious questions about security, with the country's interior minister admitting that the failure had painted France in a terrible light.
We are getting more of the incredible details through the day today of the robbery at the Louvre Museum, one that took less than 7 minutes from the moment the group of three or four thieves broke into the first floor of the southeast building at the museum, smashing a window, dressed, it's reported, as workmen. 9:30 this morning, broad daylight, and using an extendable power ladder from outside, using then a workman's lift to get into the room they'd targeted.
A monumental embarrassment. The Louvre reopening for the first time since Sunday's heist of the century. We'll follow leads in a daylight robbery, now estimated at 88 million euros.
What does it take to steal priceless crown jewels from the most visited museum in the world? A few thieves, a ladder, some power tools, getaway bikes, and about seven.
If I've learned anything from movies like Ocean's 11, it is this. If you are trying to pull off a heist, get in, get out, make it quick. And up until now, that is exactly what we thought happened when $100 million worth of precious gems were stolen from the Louvre Museum in Paris in just 7 minutes.
Dublin Castle, 1907. The Irish crown jewels disappear from a lockbox in one of the most secure buildings in the country. No broken locks, no signs of entry, just gone. The man in charge, Sir Arthur Vickers, claimed he'd been drugged. Scotland Yard thought he'd been drunk. Was it an inside job, political sabotage, or even a cover-up ordered from London? One suspect stood out, Francis Shackleton, the brother of explorer Ernest Shackleton, a high society figure with mounting debts and easy access to the jewels. But he was never truly held to account. Even Sherlock Holmes creator Arthur Conan Doyle took an interest. Sadly, not even fiction's greatest detective could solve it. So as France reels, it's worth asking, how do these priceless treasures vanish from the most secure places on Earth? And what is it about these daring heists that refuses to be forgotten? Joining me now is historian and broadcaster Miles Duncan, author of The Stealing of the Irish Crown Jewels, An Unsolved Crime. Miles, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Thank you very much for having me.
I mean, just extraordinary. A century later, we're still talking about the theft of all these rare items. Let's start with what happened in Paris. What was your reaction to that and the fact that a museum of that scale could be breached so easily?
An accident waiting to happen, I suppose. I mean, it's been pointed out on many occasions, the Louvre isn't really a museum. It's a palace which was turned into a museum. It certainly wasn't purpose-built to retain all these precious artefacts. And, I mean, its security is woefully inadequate. Apparently, they're now spending less money on security than they were 20 years ago, when, obviously, thieves are getting more and more sophisticated. I think in one of the wings, only about a quarter of the rooms have any kind of surveillance. Surveillance cameras. So you got to ask, what do you expect if that's the level of security that you're offering?
And just amazing as well, it was sort of done in the middle of the day. I mean, it all seemed very, very relaxed and only took a few minutes. Did it remind you at all of what happened in Dublin Castle back in 1907?
Not in the least, no. Quite frankly, they're rather different. I mean, the scale, for a start, the Irish crown jewels, when they were stolen, were worth about 50,000. The diamonds, the inherent value rather than any sentimental value, probably about 50,000. So about, I would say, kind of in the one or between 1 and 2 million. Euro nowadays. So, I mean, the scale is completely different for a start. Also, the theft of the Irish crown jewels wasn't caught on CCTV camera. Those astonishing pictures of cars in the background and the guys basically lowering themselves from a heist of some kind. They're rather different. And the theft of the Irish crown jewels was essentially an inside, as far as I'm concerned, was an inside job. And an outside insider actually stole them, but there was an insider involved in the whole process. It looks that the Louvre raid was completely, and it appears to be completely, an outside job.
And for people who have never heard of Irish crown jewels, how do they end up in Dublin Castle in the first place?
Well, they were the regalia of the Order of the Knights of St. Patrick. It doesn't exist anymore, but it would have been comparable to, say, the Knights of the Garter, one of the four royal branches of knighthood in the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Ireland, as it was at the time. And they were a badge and a star, which were basically worn by the Lord Lieutenant, who was an ex officio member of the Order of the Knights of St. Patrick, at functions of the Knights of St. Patrick. If you've ever been in St. Patrick's Cathedral, there is one part of the cathedral where there are seating gathered in one of the naves, and that's where the Knights of St. Patrick would have sat, and their flags would have been over their heads, and they would have worn colors, golden colors as well. But they were in possession of those golden colors themselves. They hung on to them. One of them was lost in the raid, but the rest of the knights hung on to the golden colors. And they were a gift to the order from Queen Victoria's uncle, King William IV, before he died. And that would have been around they'd been the 1830s at some, I think 1834 or thereabouts. So they basically lasted for just over 70 years before they were nicked.
And I mentioned in my introduction Sir Arthur Vickers. He was the man who was in charge. He's also the man blamed for losing them. What sort of figure was he?
Vickers was a very fussy kind of an individual, and he was the Ulster King of Arms. He was basically a genealogist. He was the equivalent of what we would call now the Chief Herald, Chief Herald for Ireland. And he was not a very practical individual, and he was somebody who did not really take his responsibilities that seriously. One of the problems was that a strong room had been built in the Bedford Tower to house a safe which would then hold the Irish crown jewels. The problem was, in a wonderful, wonderful screw-up, when they actually came with the safe to put the safe into the strong room, they discovered that the strong room door wasn't wide enough.
Okay.
So what did they do? Did they go off and buy a new safe? No, they didn't, Shane. What they did was they took the safe and they put it in the library of the Office of Arms in Bedford Tower. So it was there for anybody who was coming in to consult documents, or anybody who was coming in to consult the antique books in that library. It was there for all to see. So that was one element of security, the security was reduced because it was not, you didn't have to get through a strong room to get to the safe. You just had to walk into the library. And I mean, it was Vickers' responsibility to do something about that, but he never did. He seemed to be perfectly content to leave the jewels in the safe in the library.
And he claimed he had been drugged at the time in question.
Well, that's not strictly speaking true. What happened was that there was a prank played on him some months prior to the actual theft. And one of the people involved in that prank was a man called Lord Haddo, who was the son of Lord Aberdeen, who was the Lord Lieutenant at the time. And they used to have parties upstairs in the office of Sir Arthur Vickers in the Bedford Tower. And a lot of people used to get drunk. Vickers apparently would get drunk very quickly, and he would nod off, so he didn't really know what was going on. And on one occasion, the key to the safe was taken from him. Wear it around his neck. It was taken from him. The jewels were extracted from the safe by Haddo, apparently, and but they were replaced within 24, 48 hours. So in that sense, yes, while a theft had taken place, he was in the land of Nod, but he wasn't drugged, strictly speaking, and he certainly wasn't drugged at any time around the time of the actual theft, which we don't know exactly when the jewels were stolen. Mm-hmm. Sometime around June, July of 1907.
Right, okay. And what happened to Sir Arthur Vickers after the theft?
There was a commission of inquiry, and long story short, he was found to be responsible for the disappearance of the jewels, and it was felt that he should have taken more adequate security precautions, which was absolutely true. He disputed that. He was very bitter about it. But, I mean, he had no cause really to be bitter. Nowadays, he probably would have been sacked almost immediately. And then he retired with the aid of his half-brother, Pierce O'Mahony. He retired to an estate in Kerry and came to a very, very tragic end during the War of Independence when the estate was raided and the house, Kilmorna House, was burnt and he was murdered. Now, there is a dispute as to whether he was murdered as an informer by the IRA or whether he was actually murdered by local elements who wanted the land to be seized and the land to be divided and felt that the best way of doing this was to burn the house down. It was to kill the occupant of the house. So he died in 1921.
Right. Francis Shackleton, the brother of the explorer Ernest Shackleton, is he your chief suspect?
Absolutely. Shackleton was one of the heralds. He was a genealogist as well, and he worked in and spent a lot of time in the Office of Arms, unpaid, but he used it as a base for his genealogical practice. And one of the reasons why we don't know exactly when the jewels were stolen was because there was a 3-week window, and during that 3-week window there were signs, very obvious signs, that there was something amiss, because the cleaner came in early in the morning, discovered that the front door of the Office of Arms was unlocked. Then a couple of days, there was no response to that. Vickers was completely insouciant about it, didn't give a damn about it. And then a few days later, she came in and she discovered not only that the front door was unlocked, but also that the strong room door had been unlocked. Nothing had been removed, but the strong room door had been unlocked. And to my mind, this is somebody trying to establish an alibi. This is somebody trying to alert the powers that be. There's something wrong here. Maybe the crown jewels have been nicked. Maybe you should go and have a look at the safe. The theft was only discovered by accident, completely by accident. And the reason why I say somebody was trying to establish an alibi was because Shackleton was out of the country at the time, but he was coming back a couple of days after the theft was finally discovered. And I suspect that his accomplice, and I suspect his accomplice was a friend of his called Captain Richard Howard Gorges, who was a militia officer who would have had plenty of scope for wandering around Dublin Castle at all hours of the day and night. I suspect he stole them. Shackleton provided him with a key. Shackleton shared a house with Sir Arthur Vickers, so he had access to everything to which Vickers had access. Shackleton provided Gorges with the keys. Gorges stole the jewels. The jewels were removed from their settings, probably hawked for 10% of what they were worth in Antwerp or Amsterdam or someplace like that. But Shackleton needed the theft to be discovered before he got back so that he would have an alibi. And I suspect it was Gorges who went in and left the door open. And then when there was no response to that, went in, then left the front door open and left the other door open as well.
And the Irish crown jewels disappearing, being stolen, I mean, obviously, if this were to happen today, it would be all over the news immediately. Was this a national story and national gossip back then, or was it something that sort of the British socialites talked about?
Oh no, it was an absolutely huge scandal, and all kinds of parallel episodes and events and phenomena, if you like, emerged around her about the same time. There was all kinds of, I mean, there was spiritualists involved, as you said. Arthur Conan Doyle got involved. Scotland Yard got involved, a Scotland Yard detective, an Irish detective, Kerryman John Kane, was sent over to investigate, and he compiled a report in which it is suggested that he identified a culprit, but that that report has conveniently disappeared. There were also, because Shackleton was involved very, very closely and possibly in a homosexual relationship with a cousin of the king, the Duke of Argyll, there was plenty of scope, and there was plenty of reason to cover up his involvement in the whole process.
The drama of it all—it's incredible. I know a lot of people are watching House of Guinness on Netflix at the moment. It kind of feels reminiscent of that as well. Where do you think the jewels ended up?
I suspect the jewels were broken down very, very quickly. And were sold. So, you know, I mean, there could be, you know, some people listening to this today could have an engagement ring, and it could be an engagement ring that was purchased by their grandfather for their grandmother, and it was passed on to them. It could have one of the crown jewels in the setting. I think that they were. They were broken down. They were hawked. I think the money was probably divided up between Shackleton and Gorges, both of whom, incidentally, ended up in jail. Not connected with the theft of the crown jewels, but both of them were. Gorges was a very violent individual, killed a policeman who tried to arrest him, and Shackleton was a con man and cheated a number of people out of their life savings and ended up in jail. So, you know, neither of them particularly reputable individuals. And in the case of Shackleton, he lost a lot of money on investments. So he would not have very obviously benefited from the sale of, or the hawking of, the fencing of the crown jewels. And Gorges was a very, very heavy drinker, a very dissipated individual, and he would not have obviously benefited either. So the fact, you know, on the basis of cui bono, the fact that neither of them ended up being particularly rich doesn't really signify.
It's an incredible story. You wrote the book on it, literally, The Stealing of the Irish Crown Jewels, an Unsolved Crime. You do love your bit of historical crime, Miles, because you've your new book, The Red Branch. Tell the News Talk Daily listeners what it's about.
Yeah, it's a novel. It's a crime stroke espionage novel set in San Francisco in 1883, and it's set against the background of the Fenian or Clanagail bombing campaign, which was going. A lot of people don't know about this. This is 100 years before the IRA ever bombed London, but there was a bombing campaign going on in England, mostly in London, and in my fiction, British Secret Service send a young Irish detective over to San Francisco because a consignment of dynamite from San Francisco has been discovered in a London house. That bit is actually factual. That's what gave me the idea. So he goes over, and his task is to prevent any further dynamite leaving San Francisco for London. And basically, he's undercover, and his undercover operation falls apart on page one. So he has to improvise.
Okay, well, Miles's latest book, latest work of fiction, The Red Branch, available in all good bookshops now. Miles Duncan, a pleasure to talk to you on News Talk Daily. Thank you so much for telling us all about the theft of the Irish crown jewels. And that is it for today's News Talk Daily. I'll be back with more tomorrow morning, unless, of course, we stumble across some crown jewels on my way to work, and then I'll never have to work again. Don't forget, every episode of the podcast is available to listen back on the Go Loud player, and if you ever have a comment or email, feel free to email us. The address is newstalkdaily@newstalk.com. But for now, from me, Shane Beattie, goodbye.